we all get to enjoy on a prayer again this morning. Good to pray, isn't it? Good to pray. This morning as we pray, I want us to focus on praying for others. Certainly nothing wrong with praying for yourself. That's good. That's good. But for this morning, I want you to be thinking, Lord, who is it this morning that I need to pray for? Just ask the Lord that. Let's see who comes to mind. Maybe several. Perhaps family members. Maybe for parents, it's your children or your grandchildren. Maybe for students, it's your parents or some of your friends. Maybe it's those who don't yet personally know Christ. Perhaps it's those who've got physical struggles. Perhaps it's those who are Christians, but they've got some just real spiritual struggles in their lives in some particular way right now. Who comes to mind? Let's take a few moments. I want you to pray for those God lays on your heart, and then I'll lead us aloud in just a few moments. Lord, there are many, many people who have needs. Some of those needs are significant. Father, we count it a privilege and an honor to stand in the gap and pray for them. Lord, this morning I think of James Westbrook, who physically is struggling. Lord, I pray that you'd restore him to health. Lord, I think of my son Austin, who is struggling. I pray for his health. Pray for him spiritually. God, do what's right and best in his life, I pray. God, I think of J.J. Whaley getting ready to enter a new position in children's ministry. And Father, he needs your direction and your wisdom and your strength. Pray that you guide him. Father, I think of this church, for each one of us, God, that you would help us, God, to be everything that you want us to be. Lord, I think of some here who, while they're nice people, they don't yet know you as Lord and Savior of their lives. I pray, God, that even this morning, they would have a deep spiritual understanding of what that means, and they would surrender their lives to you. God, I think of us as a church with the desire and the focus, Lord, that we would be a church who makes disciples, who in turn make more disciples. God, we don't have what it takes in our strength to do that. We need you. God, we are but tools and vessels for your use. But Father, how we pray that you would motivate us to depend on you and see you do in us and through us what could only be explained as the hand of God. Father, for all of these requests and for so many requests that the people in these seats have brought to you this morning, Lord, there's one thing that we are confident about. You are able. Lord, there's nothing that we've brought to you today that is too hard for you. And so, Father, our heart's desire for us is that we would submit to you, that we would submit our will to your will, that we would submit our ways to your ways, that we would get out of the way and let you be God, and that we would follow as you lead. God, as we share this time in your word, Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see truth. And Father, give us a yearning and a longing to push all the other distractions aside and hear from you, as it's our belief, God, that your desire would be to speak personally to each one of us. And then, Father, as we hear from you, even before we know what you would speak to us, know that our answer is yes, Lord. For if you are Lord, we can say nothing else but yes. God, thank you for loving us that much. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to go to a fourth message in a message series called Beyond Imagination, a message series on prayer. If you'd care to follow along with the outline, it's in your bulletin. I'd encourage you to do so. Prayer is the window of the soul. Think with me. What we pray for, we care for. What we don't pray about, we don't care about. You know, we can say all we want about what someone or something means to us. But if we never bring that person or that situation before God in prayer, we really cannot say that we care deeply. I think there's a variety of things that hinder us in prayer. Let's talk about at least three things that hold us back in the arena of prayer. Very simple things, very common. First, we fear that we don't pray often enough. We fear that. So, in turn, we feel kind of bad about ourselves, and we pray even less. Second, we worry that somehow we won't use the right words. So we stop trying. Can I just say, God really doesn't care about right words. He cares about your heart. Third, we think that we don't have enough faith. Or more accurately, we think we don't have enough faith for God to hear us. And so we give up or pray less. But here's a wonderful thing. Because God knows that we have fears such as these, you know what he chose to do? He recorded some of the prayers of some of those who have gone before us to teach us how to pray. And so we can listen in. We can listen in as Moses beseeches the Lord, and as Nehemiah and David intercede with the Almighty. We get to listen in. In John 17, we can listen as Jesus talks intimately with his heavenly Father. And then throughout the epistles, the letters written by Paul, we get to join the Apostle Paul as he walks into the throne room of God. We get to listen in. So, if we need help with prayer, and we do, we are going to be greatly blessed then to study the prayers that God has recorded in Scripture. I'm especially blessed by Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Without a doubt, this is one of the greatest prayers in the entire Bible. Let's read it now. Paul said, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That's a powerful prayer. The best way to study this prayer is to focus first on the primary request. This request is listed in verse 16. Paul prays that God might strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul's prayer is a prayer for spiritual strength in the inner being, or in the Greek, literally, in the inner man. So how can we be sure that the primary focus of this rather long prayer is a request for power and strength? How do we know for sure? Well, the key is found in verse 13, just prior to the beginning of this prayer. Paul prayed and he said, "I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." Now that phrase right there that says not to be discouraged can also be translated not to lose heart or not to give up. Question, you think there's any application for us in that need today? Today, we still struggle, do we not, with exactly the same thing. We too struggle with discouraging circumstances, physical frailties, personal failures, unresolved conflict. Any one of these might put us out of commission. But often, two or three of these things hit us at the same time. In the midst of such difficulties, we get knocked to the floor, and we have a hard time getting back up. Now, most of us can handle a little bit of adversity. Some of us can handle a lot of adversity. But all of us have a breaking point. All of us. Simply put, you're not as strong as you think you are. And neither am I. For me, one of the enemy's most significant ways to drop me to my knees is to mess with my family. Boy, that's when it's personal. Recently, many of you have asked about my son, Austin. Austin is age 20. He's in the Navy, stationed in San Diego. In recent months, Austin has had some physical problems, possibly serious. We still don't know for sure what's going on, but I'm concerned. I'm also concerned about spiritual things in his life, which really matters far more than the physical. Because of these things, in recent weeks, I've just been struggling with some anguish over my son. I tell you the truth, apart from Christ, I am not strong at all. At all. Crystal and I would just humbly request your prayers, both for Austin and for us. As I considered my own weakness, an illustration came to mind, and I thought, Lord, I am just like this. The mightiest oak tree in the forest appears to be invincible, to be mighty and strong. But if you hit it in just the right place with a tiny axe, it will come crashing down. I believe that describes many of our lives. Because we are weak, this prayer speaks to something that most of us desperately need, and that is spiritual strength. See, when you're at your weakest, sometimes it's just hard to pray at all. But I want to encourage you this morning. When you feel like you're about to faint, when you feel like you're never, ever going to win, when you feel like giving up, don't. Instead, pray. Pray for God's strength and power in your life. Then, when the Spirit of God makes you strong in your inner being, then you will have what it takes to overcome the obstacles before you. You will have God's power to overcome despair, to rise above anger, to have victory over addiction, and to keep on keeping on when you'd much rather give up and quit. The problem is, most of the time, we'd rather fuss than pray. And fussing doesn't get you anywhere. It just doesn't help. Please note that this power goes to work in the inner man or inner being. What does that mean? Really simple. The inner man is the control room of your life where every great decision is made. It's the real you. Who you are inside, that's what we're talking about right here. And it is precisely here where we need God's help more than any other place. We need spiritual strength from God. As I studied this prayer, it occurred to me how different this prayer is compared to most of the prayers that we pray. Evaluate with me and see if you agree. Most of our prayers fall into one of two categories. Number one, pain avoidance. Lord, this hurts. Make it stop. I mean, doesn't that pretty much equate many of our prayers? Second category, change of circumstances. Lord, I don't like this. Please change it. Yes? Let me ask you a question. What percentage of your prayers fit into one of these two categories? What percentage would you say? 50%? 75%? 90%? Keep going. Look, understandably, no one likes pain, and no one enjoys difficult circumstances. Of course, we want the pain to stop. By the way, lest you misunderstand me, it's not wrong to pray for God to help you. That's a good thing. It's not wrong. The problem is, in the midst of pain or bad circumstances, we tend to get totally consumed with ourselves, such that we rarely, if ever, pray for anyone or anything else. Now, I want you to notice something. In his prayer, Paul never mentions anything even remotely related to either of these two categories. Isn't that a stark contrast to many of our prayers? Do you know where Paul was when he prayed this prayer? Paul was in prison in Rome. Most scholars would say that Paul was chained to two Roman guards at all times. And yet, his request was not, God, get me out of here. Didn't pray that, did he? I might have prayed that. He didn't. Rather, to the Ephesians, near the end of the epistle, Paul said, pray that I will be bold for Christ even though I am in chains. What a maturity in his walk with Christ. So, beloved, no matter what's going on in your life right now, foundationally, all of us are in the same boat. All of us desperately need the Spirit of God to strengthen us on the inside. Why? Because we're not as strong as we think we are. We're not as wise as we think we are. We're not as resilient as we think we are. We're not as good as we think we are. We need God more than we know. Therefore, Paul's prayer is not, "Lord, take away my burden," but rather, "Lord, please give me strong shoulders." At this particular moment, what would you say is your biggest hurt in life? Hurt, pain, burden, struggle, stressor. What is it? You know, sometimes our biggest hurt in life is caused by our own choices. I say it's amazing what pain we bring on ourselves. And sometimes our pain is simply allowed by God for His purposes. And He doesn't always explain all that up front. But either way, it is what it is. Yes, it just is what it is. You're hurting, and it is what it is. So, in the midst of your pain, how should you pray? How about this? Lord, this is my path. The path that you have chosen for me. Please, God, make me strong in my inner being to walk where you are leading. That's a good prayer. Now, the rest of this passage reveals three results that will come to us as we are strengthened by God's Spirit on the inside. The first result is this: Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The word dwell, is based on two words which mean down home. Down home. The focus of this part of Paul's prayer is that Christ might be down home in your heart. It's a picture of a man at home in his own house. You know, there's a difference between a house and a home. Is there not? There's a difference. A house is just a building. But a home, now that's a dwelling place. Beloved, it is quite possible for Christ to be in your heart, but not at home in your heart. Let me explain. Suppose I visit a luxurious house. I walk in the door and I'm just amazed at the opulence. The lady of the house says to me, "Pastor Lindy, welcome. Make yourself at home." You know, as I look around, the beauty of the house is stunning. However, it is unlikely at that moment that I will actually feel at home in this house, because I don't know where anything is. I don't know where the bathroom is. I don't know where the kitchen is. I don't know where the computer resides. And most important of all, I do not know where the remote is. That's serious. I ask you, how can a man be at home when he cannot find the remote? Thank you. I noticed that was all men saying those, all right, amen, okay. But if you were to come visit me at my house, there you would see a man fully at home. You see, at my house, I know where almost everything is, except, of course, when my wife moves something or when my son doesn't put something back. But mostly, I know where things are. You can also rest assured. It's college football time. Love it. I grew up in Missouri. So you can rest assured that when the Missouri Tigers football is on television, I will know exactly where that remote is, because it'll be right where it belongs, in this hand. And that's a good thing. Now I want you to imagine for a moment. Imagine your heart as a home with many rooms. Living room, bedroom, dining room, etc. Most of us also have closets and attics and garages where we try to keep kind of those areas out of the public view, because either they're really, really messy, or because they contain certain items that somehow we do not want others to see. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. Most of us have welcomed Christ into most of the rooms in our hearts. But for many of us, there are also rooms in our hearts for which we have posted "Do not disturb" signs. In those rooms, Christ is not welcome to enter. Some people try to keep Jesus in the entryway of their hearts, as if to say, "Jesus, I heard you knocking. I let you in the door. Now, stay put. Don't bother the rest of my life." Guess what? Jesus, the Lord Jesus, wants to enter every room of your heart. He wants access to your living room, your bedroom, and your study. He also wants access to every closet, attic, and garage in your heart. Beloved, as long as you keep certain rooms in your heart locked, Jesus will never fully be at home in your heart. So, what is it in your life that you don't want Jesus to see? What is it you're hoping somehow he won't notice? Is there something you'd really prefer to hide? Anger? Greed? Lust? Jealousy? How about an addiction? A grudge? Or some secret sin? Mark it down. You will never, ever be completely at peace. Nor will Christ ever feel completely at home in you until every door in your life is wide open to him. Christ, at home in your heart. That's the first result of being strengthened in your inner being by the Spirit of God. There's another result: a growing understanding of the love of Christ. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. The second result of being strengthened in the inner man is growing deeper in your personal understanding of the love of Christ. Now, there is a sense in which all Christians experience the love of Christ. However, his love is deep, really deep. And so, no matter how far you go in your understanding of the love of Christ, you will never come to the end of it. Let me illustrate. When a man and woman initially fall in love, that love is real, but it's not complete. On their wedding night, they will experience love in a deeper way, but still, it's not complete. As the years go by, their love deepens into a personal commitment, made stronger and more profound by the seasons of life. And so, a husband may truly say, "Sweetheart, I love you today far more than on the day we married." That can and should be a true statement in a Christian marriage. It's more than just poetry. In a good marriage, it's reality. My wife and I have been married for 28 years. That's long enough that we have been married a good bit longer than either of us were single. Today, I can honestly say, "Crystal, I love you more today than ever before." I am so blessed to have this woman for my wife. How many of you agree with me on that? Boy, you are blessed, Lindy. Yes, I am. Our marriage is stronger and better today than it was 10 or 15 or 28 years ago. Thank you, God. My prayer is that God might grant us at least another 28 years together. Wouldn't that be a sweet gift if God gave us that? Now, take this same principle into the spiritual realm, and you'll understand at least some of what Paul was saying when he prayed that we would grasp how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ. Christ's love is broader than the universe, longer than time, higher than hope, and deeper even than death. As we are strengthened by the Spirit in our inner being, we will come to a new understanding of the love of Christ. Result number three, filled with the fullness of God. Paul said, "I pray that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." We've talked several times in recent weeks about being filled by God. It's the picture of a cup overflowing. It's also the idea of being controlled by another. Listen, when you are filled with God, God Himself will dominate your life. And that's as good as it gets. As believers, we were created to be containers of God. He wants to pour His life into you and fill you up until you are absolutely full of Him. Now, if Christ is going to fill you with Himself, this necessitates a cleansing of your heart. Not something you do, something He does. for Christ and sin cannot coexist. Let me demonstrate. This little jar here represents us, our lives. And this bottle of iodine represents sin. You know, apart from Christ, our lives are filled with sin. That would include the sin of lying, and that would include the sin of anger, selfishness, lust, greed. We could go through a long, long list. As you can see, apart from Christ, our lives are a filthy mess. But as we unlock the doors of each room of our heart to the Lord Jesus, and Christ enters in, as he does, an amazing thing happens. This jar represents Christ as he pours his life into us. I want you to see what happens. In the Old Testament, it says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, that's not anything that you and I could ever do. It's something that Christ, filling us with himself, does as he fills us. Our part is to submit. Our part is to surrender. Our part is to pray that he will do his work in us that only he can do. Beloved, apart from Christ, we're all dirty. It is the work of a lifetime to replace the filthy, dark water with the pure water of God's holiness. Where does it begin? It begins as you surrender your life to Christ as Lord and Savior. Can I just say this? It's not a ritual. It's not a set of rules. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this process of God filling us and cleansing us and helping to make us more and more and more the image of his Son, this process is sometimes called sanctification. And it is the answer to our lust, greed, bitterness, addictions, dishonesty, unfaithfulness, and more. I can guess, perhaps, what some of you may be thinking. Pastor, you have no idea. If you only knew the struggles I have, if you only knew the bondage that I face every day, you would rethink this whole thing. No, I wouldn't. You want to know why not? Because the answer depends on God. Depends on God. No matter what you might think, what I'm describing, it is not impossible. It all goes back to the first request. God will change you when you are strengthened inside by his Spirit. The answer to this prayer is not up to you. It's up to God. This brings us then to the magnificent conclusion to this prayer in verses 20 and 21. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You can be changed. You can be changed for one reason. Because God is able. Not you, God is able. You want some assurance? Let's break down these two verses in order to better appreciate God's ability. God is able to do what I ask. God is able to do all I ask. More than I ask. God is able to do immeasurably more than all I ask. But that's not all. God is able to do what I imagine. All I imagine. More than I imagine. God is able to do immeasurably more than all I imagine. So what can't he do for you? Next question. How? How does he do it? According to his power that is at work within us. See there? If you are in Christ, the power to make this prayer come true is already at work in you. At the very point of your need, when you're weak, tired, fearful, angry, ready to give up and quit, at precisely that point, God's power is at work in you to give you what you need if you'll go to him. But maybe you're like me. I'm a striver way too often. You know, when you take little kids, little babies, you want to put them down to sleep. There are those babies that, just like Grayson was when he was a baby, put him down in the crib, shh, out. And then there's the others. Y'all got the others? Undoubtedly, I had to have been one of the others as a baby. Man, when I have problems, my flesh human tendency is to struggle and strive and work and and all I do is get worn out. God's saying, that's not the way. That's not the way. There's a better way. That's why, Lindy, you need to pray. Pray to access what God has already placed inside of you by his Spirit. Rest assured, that which God has placed in you, God will not hold out on you. Romans 8:32 says this, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" If it's good for you and you need it, God's not going to hold out on you. Whatever your struggle, everything you need is available in Christ. Church, our greatest need is strength. Pray this prayer from your heart to the Lord. Our greatest temptation is to excuse our sin or to ignore God and seek out better circumstances. So pray this prayer. At the end of the day, our anxious hearts ask one central question. Here it is. Is God able? Is he really able? Let me answer this question with a simple question of my own. Does the Atlantic Ocean have enough water to fill a thimble? If we believe the Bible, the answer to both of these questions is yes. 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 How weak we are, yet how strong is he? This week, connect yourself to God, the source of all power, through prayer. pray this prayer like your life depended on it. Because in many ways, it does. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.